Chapter 4. The rest of my first day at Bluford dragged like Frankie's first car, an old Chevette with a half-blown engine. U.S. history with Mrs. Eckerly was boring, though I met a funny kid named Cooper. Algebra 2 with Mr. Singh was even worse. By the time I got to biology with Mrs. Reed, I was ready to go home. After study hall, where I listened to a snobby girl named Brisana gossip about a weekend party, I went to my last class, phys ed, with Mr. Dooling. I was tired when I finally found the gym. But as soon as I entered the locker room, I spotted Steve Morris. He was giving a high five to a kid next to him. With his shirt off, I could see he had an athlete's body. Much bigger than me or any of my boys. "Can you believe that, Clarence?" he said. "One day soon I'm gonna pop rolling." "Man, you'd kill him," Clarence said. "Yeah, but until football season ends, I gotta stay out of trouble. Coach would kick me off the team." I noticed everyone in that section of the locker room was quiet, as if Steve was someone special. Inside the gym, Mr. Dooling, an older man who looked as tired as me, took attendance and assigned our class to break into groups to play basketball. I admit it, basketball isn't my sport, and I ain't no LeBron James. So I hung on the sidelines with a couple of other kids and watched Steve strut out onto the court. "Who wants to play me?" he challenged, bouncing a ball hard against the gym floor. Once the game started, he was an animal on the court, stealing the ball and blocking shots. None of the other guys could touch him. I watched one kid, smaller and quicker than the others, try to defend the basket. The kid's arms were out, his feet were planted, but Steve just charged through him as if he wasn't there. Up went Steve's layup, while the other guy went smashing to the ground like he'd been hit by a train. "That's what I'm talking about," Steve boasted, punching his chest. Clarence slapped Steve's hand in triumph. The other kid lay on the wooden floor, holding his head for several seconds before he slowly got up, his feet unsteady. The whole scene just rubbed me the wrong way. "Easy, Morris. This isn't football," Mr. Dooling warned. "If it was, he wouldn't be getting up," Steve bragged. Back in the locker room, Steve kept talking about his basketball game. "Man, did you see that kid fly? That felt good," he said. "Steve, you crushed him. He's gonna think twice next time he steps onto the court with you," Clarence said. He seemed to follow Steve like a dog looking for scraps. I tried to ignore him as I waited in line to leave, but then Steve described how he hit the kid. "I was like, whap," he said, performing his hit and then laughing about it. Clarence chuckled with him. Maybe it was because I was tired. Maybe it was because I hated Bluford. Or maybe it was because I missed Weddle. And something about seeing that kid on the ground bothered me. I'm not sure. All I know is that I suddenly couldn't take listening to Steve. "Man, how many times are you going to keep telling us what you did?" I said. "It don't take that much skill to hit someone who's half your size." A couple kids standing next to me moved away, and Clarence looked a little stunned, as if he'd never heard someone speak the truth to him before. "Do I know you?" Steve asked, sizing me up. "You do now," I said. "You're that loser from Zamora who's in my English class, aren't you?" "Nah, you're that punk from Bluford in my English class," I said, taking a step forward. Steve's eyes narrowed. I dropped my books. I wanted my hands free, just in case. Was I dangerous? Was I a gangbanger? That's what he was thinking. Though he didn't say it, I could see it in his face. He wasn't sure about me. The bell signaling the end of the day sounded, and kids started rushing out. "Come on, Steve. We gotta go to practice," Clarence said. "You and me are going to continue this later, Sanchez," Steve said. "I hope so," I said, eyeing him until he turned the corner. "That was cool," said a short kid behind me in the locker room. I almost laughed. Frankie and the boys would be proud. "How was your day, mijo?" my mother asked when she got home. She looked tired. I knew the move increased her own commute to work. She was home an hour later than usual. "It was fine, Ma," I said, flipping channels on the TV. "Did you meet anyone new? Tell me about your classes." "What do you want me to say?" I just wasn't in the mood. "Martin, do you want the truth, Ma? Here goes. I didn't feel like talking to anyone. I came late to every class and I almost started a fight with some big dude. That was my day." "Don't do this to me," she said, slumping into a living room chair. "I couldn't help it. If you ask me when I am calm, I can say I never want to hurt my mother. But since Weddle died, there was almost no calm." "You did this to me, Ma. Now you're acting like everything is supposed to be perfect. Well, it's not perfect," I snapped. She took a deep breath and looked up like she was saying a prayer. Martin, I did this for you. Well, it's not what I wanted. My temper was boiling. All right then, what do you want? She challenged, standing up in front of me. Martin Luna, who is he? Oh, I know, I think I have it. The neighborhood punk down at the end of the street. No, no, the teenager who wants to miss class all day. Or, I got it, the fool who wants to paint a red target on his chest that says to the world, here, come get me. Is that it, Martin? Did I get it right now? I cut the TV off and threw the remote control into the wall. I wanted to punch something. I'm sorry this is hard on you, Martin. But if I had done this sooner, maybe Weddle wouldn't have been out on the street looking for you, she said, wiping her eyes. I won't lose another son. My mind caught on her words like a shirt snagged on a nail. Maybe Weddle wouldn't have been out on the street looking for you. She was hinting at something I never allowed myself to say, something I knew haunted my nightmares, fueled my anger, and scared me more than dying itself. You think it was my fault, don't you? I said. The room was so quiet that even the silence seemed loud. My mother's eyes widened. The moment is an invisible gash that will never heal. Don't do this, Martin. Tell me the truth, Ma. You think it's my fault. You're trying to punish me. Martin, she said, putting her hand on my shoulder. I pushed her aside and stormed out of the house. Where are you going? She called, but I ignored her. I had to get out, away from her eyes that told me I was guilty, away from everyone that could see me and know what I had done. But no matter where I walked that night, no place on earth was dark enough for me, the big brother who failed. I felt like a ghost the next day as I walked to school. Though I crept back in around 3 a.m., I didn't sleep at all, and when I got to Mr. Mitchell's class, I was late again. I hadn't done my homework either. I opened the door quietly and moved quickly to my chair in the back. I saw Steve, but I couldn't be bothered with him. Mr. Luna, I heard Mr. Mitchell's voice as I sat down. I recognized his tone. It was the one that meant you were in trouble. Yeah, I said. Let me guess, I'm busted because I'm late, right? I wasn't going to play around. I knew what was coming. Is there a reason you're late? He asked, ignoring my comment. Steve turned in his seat and stared at me. He had that satisfied grin on his face that told me he was enjoying me getting into trouble. Vicky looked back at me too, but then she turned away. No, I'm just late again, I said. Several students looked puzzled, as if what I said was not in English. I see, said Mr. Mitchell quickly. Let's discuss this after school. I've got an appointment today, so it'll have to be tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I'll be looking for you. What for? I challenged, standing up at my desk. I knew I should calm down, but I couldn't. The class got quiet, and I could feel everyone's eyes crawling across me in my black shirt and jeans. You sure his name ain't Martin Looney? He's psycho, Steve mumbled. Sit down, Martin. We can talk about this after class, Mr. Mitchell said. I wanted to throw my desk and hit Steve with my chair. I could almost see the look on his face as the chair crashed down on him, and yet I knew Steve hadn't done anything serious to me. Just words. That ain't nothing. I was losing it. I don't know how long I stood there, maybe 5 or 10 seconds, before I sat back down in my seat. Mr. Mitchell seemed relieved and instantly began his lesson. I wiped the sweat from my forehead, picked up my notebook and a pen, and started acting like I was a student. But I only wrote one word in my notebook. H-U-E-R-O. Beneath the word, I drew eyes. My brother's gentle, bright eyes. The ones that I see every night staring at me from that bike. After class, Mr. Mitchell called me to his desk. Are you okay, Martin? He asked. He gave me this look like he was serious, but I wasn't about to share my business with him. I'm fine, I said. Just got a lot on my mind, that's all. I know it's not easy switching schools. How are you doing with everything here at Blueford? I felt like I was one of those dumb news shows where the reporter walks up to someone whose house just burned down and says, "So how do you feel now that you have no place to live?" I had to get away from this guy and his purple tie, this time with Bugs Bunny. School's just perfect, Mr. Mitchell. Everything's fine. I wouldn't change a thing. I said it as sarcastically as possible, hoping he would take the hint and let me go. I'm going to be late for my next class, I reminded him. Okay, Martin, I get it. But let me just say this. If you ever want to talk, or if there's something going on at home or in school that is affecting you, let me know. I've seen a few things in my time, and I may be able to help. Whatever you say, Mr. Mitchell, I said, giving him my fake smile. Good. So I'll see you on time for class tomorrow and then after school at 3 o'clock, right? He smiled this time. I nodded just to get him off my back. And don't forget to bring your assignment to class too, he said. I left the classroom as soon as I could. The man made me feel like I was under a spotlight, and after everything that happened, all I wanted was to be in the shadows. I hung low the rest of the day, taking a few notes, blending into the back of the room, trying my best to pretend that the conversation with my mother had never happened. At gym class, I ran into Steve again. He was heading out of the locker room when I was going in. Hey, Looney, he said. That was quite a show you put on in Mr. Mitchell's class. You gonna do that little stand-up thing in here too? Before I could answer, he was gone. I slammed my books in the gym locker. I didn't want to lose it again. That guy is the biggest jerk, said a voice from behind me. It was the same kid who Steve knocked down the day before. You got that right, I said. I don't know how much more of that I can take. He's been that way since middle school, but he's gotten worse now that he's the starting running back for the football team. We both live on the same block, but everyone treats him like he's God or something. I don't care who he is. If he keeps acting like that, he's going to get a surprise from me. Don't mess with him. The football team's kind of like a gang around here. I almost laughed at the word. Gang. This boy didn't know the meaning of the word. What's your name? The kid asked. Martin. Martin Luna. What's up, Martin? I'm Eric, he said, shaking my hand. Eric Suarez. I nearly fell over. The only other Eric I knew was my brother. You all right? Eric asked. Yeah, I'm cool, I said, pushing the memories back. Let's get to class. Hi, Martin. Did you finish your English assignment yet? The question caught me by surprise. It was the end of the day, and I was on the main steps leading out of the school. I turned to see Vicky. She was right behind me, wearing white jeans and a light blue jacket. Teresa was standing with her. For a split second, she gave me this look. I'd seen it before from snobby girls that looked down at guys like me. I recognized it in her face just as plain as if she were a shirt that said, Martin Luna is no good. Stay away from him. But Vicky looked good. Real good. The kind of girl you want to stare at even though you know better. No, I said. To be honest, I wasn't sure what to say. The girls I usually hung out with at parties never talked about homework, and most of the girls at Zamora who were serious students didn't pay attention to me or my friends. Me neither, Vicky spoke quickly, like she was nervous. Everything I write seems cheesy, you know, the whole hero thing. I like what you said yesterday in class, though. It was real. Her eyes were so intense. I knew she meant what she said. Just seeing her cleared the fog in my head for the first time that day. Okay, Vicky, I have to go. Call me later, Teresa said, giving Vicky the what are you talking to him for look. See ya, T, Vicky said. I felt kind of dishonest because I hadn't even thought about her English assignment. Yet Vicky made me want to think about it. Isn't that weird? Frankie would have teased me if he knew this. You're getting soft, Holmes, he'd say. Good thing he wasn't there. I like what you said, too. I bet Steve didn't like it too much, I said. I wanted to see what she would do if I mentioned his name. Oh, don't get me started on Steve. All that boy cares about is himself. It's like everyone else exists just to tell him he's great. When you stop doing that, he gets mad at you. Yeah, I see some of that. He's in my gym class, I said as we passed the parking lot down the street from Blueford. Too bad for you, she said with a smile. It's all right. He don't impress me. So what if he's an athlete? I know people who would scare him off any football field. Vicky glanced sideways as if something I had said bothered her. You all right? I asked. What is the problem with you guys? She said. I could tell it was one of those questions she didn't expect an answer to. Everything's always about winning and losing. Sure, it's great to win, but then someone else has to lose. Get hurt or whatever. I'm sick of that. She began to walk faster. I could see she was annoyed. There was this fire in her eyes. It actually made her look even prettier. Though I knew not to say something like that. Are you saying I should buy Steve a flower each time he starts showing off? I said, trying to make a joke. No, she grumbled, giving me a playful shove. There was a tiny smile trying to break free on her face, but she was fighting it. I'll see you tomorrow in class, she said, turning up the next street. I watched her walk away, her long hair waving back at me with each step she took.